Okay, we are in Simi Samach Zayin, Chayshe Mishpat, Siv Beis, because last week we skipped, we had learned Sif Aleph, and then we skipped to the Dine Prozbol. Today we go back to Siv Beis. As you can see, there are a series of short Sifim with some of the exceptions to Dine Shmita. What we're going to learn today are a lot of the Klolim in the heavy Torah of Chayshe Mishpat and Yeredeya, which Derech Agav make their way here. I shouldn't say Derech Agav, because some of them go everywhere else, starting from Hilchos Shmita. Siv Beis deals with the issue of a mashkin. You all know what a mashkin is. It's collateral. If somebody lends someone money, and the person gives them collateral, it gives them something to hold as to guarantee the loan. And all collateral, you're not allowed to eat it up or ruin it. You have to hold it until the person pays. And if he doesn't pay at a certain point, depending on your agreement, you're allowed to sell it and collect the chayv. Now that's a mashkin. We're all familiar with a mashkin. Now, in Shas, there are two types of mashkin. There's something called the mashkin b'shas halvah, and a mashkin shaloi b'shas halva. What that means is this. Sometimes when I lend someone money, I want to, immediately, I want to have a mashkin in my possession to be sure I'll get paid back. A mashkin shaloi b'shas halva means I lend someone money, and typically it comes time to pay. If it's not time to pay yet, I have no tefillah on him. I go to him, I say, pay me. He says, you know, I'm sorry, I don't have money. Happens every once in a while. And you say, okay, you don't have money, at least give me a mashkin. That's called a mashkin. Shalai b'shas salva, a mashkin you get later. And we'll discuss in a few minutes if there's a difference between them. Now, before we learn Siv Beis, if we start Siv Beis, we're going to get the totally wrong impression of what's going on. There's Siv Beis, the Sman, Siv Katan Vav. Before we learn Siv Beis, tells us the rule of a mashkin. Let's learn it, and we'll see soon how it applies everywhere. Sma Vav is the top line on the printout, in the Shulchan Aruch, the typical print of the Shulchan Aruch. Shvius Meshametes es Hamalva Yalfin Ala Midiksev Asheyilecha Esachicha Tashmet Yodecha. The Torah says if you have something. If you have something with your brother, tashmei tzedach yemisham. V'hainu halva shalcha, your money shehu biyad achicha, that's in the hands of another fellow Jew, tashmei tzedach edishmita. That means that what you have is in his hands. V'loi kishiyesh mashkin biyotcha meyachicha. But if you have something of the leivis, if you have his mashkin, Shmita is not mishamit. Afilok shu by biyad achiv. Even if the loan is still outstanding, veine biyade b'teres halva kim b'teres pekadin. Now he's telling us a second halacha. If you have a pekadin of someone, if you give someone something to watch, so ain't a mishamit. It's also not mishamit. Shmita is only mishamit loans. It's not mishamit a pekadin, which I think is pashut to all of us. The chomakim shehu b'shuscha, wherever it is, it's still in the b'shusse demarehu. It's still in the ownership. V'lo mikri esachicha, gam yitzarach l'noigsa. There's no laigais because he holds it for you. It's not something he has to pay. So the Sma is very, very clear. He says there are two clear exceptions to shmita. One is pikadin, which is not a chiddush at all, and the other is a mashkin. If I have a mashkin of on a loan, I lend someone money and I have a mashkin, so Shemitah is not mishamit.
Does the mashkin have to be worth the whole value of the loan or only part of
it? Okay, so that's part of the discussion. So what we're going to do, if you read Siv Beis, it doesn't stim. So we're going to read Siv Beis ultimately. Let's first read Siv Yud Beis. If you can trouble you to turn the page. I don't know why the Shulchan Aruch is in this order, because the basic rule of mashkin is in Sif Yud Beis, and the exception is in Beis. So look at Sif Yud Beis. Hamalva ala mashkin, ain't a mishamit. Mashe keneged amashkin. This is what you were asking, right? The first shita is if you have land on a mashkin, sifyud beis, amaval amashkin, ene mishamit mashe keneged amashkin. If you lent him $500, and the mashkin is only worth $300, so the $300 worth, it's not mishamit. Yesh mishamer af hayeser al hamashkin ein mishamet. Some say that even what's more than the mashkin, once there's a mashkin, it's outside of the parsha of Shemitah Kesafim. Now, that should be everything. Okay, maybe we'll get to it. Let's hold on a second. The
isn't the problem here, Shai, is a mashkin a piron or not? If you go with
it. Right. That's the aside, really. Okay, there's a kuntris called Yainis Elam. Yainis Elam is a kuntris, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I don't remember Lili Nishvasu. Someone passed away and they printed his Torah. And every yeshiva has in its. In its shells, kuntris yainis elam. Go over to the ICU, usually Aleph Beis order. The kuntris is there. Why? Because there's one piece there that quotes the Reb Chaim. It's binyan mekadish b'mashkin, on the topic of mashkin. A Reb Chaim there is printed as saying in Yiddish the following words, which are the yisayid in dinei mashkin. The Reb Chaim writes, in the mashkin liktachayv. That's how he's called it in Yiddish. In the mashkin liktachayv, which means, Reb Chaim says, if you lend someone money and he gives you a mashkin, in the mashkin liktachayv, you lent him $1,000. Let's say the mashkin is worth $1,000. So when he gives you the mashkin, you really can look at it two ways. You can look at it, you lent him $1,000, and you have something to make yourself comfortable. Reb Chaim says, that's not pshat. It says, in the mashkin liktachayv, when he gives you the mashkin, he's paying you the chayv. He's giving you back. You gave him $1,000. He's paying up, but he's paying up it tonight. He says, "Look, I don't have cash. I'll give you this diamond necklace, which is worth just as much. But I make a condition. I'm paying you back, but on a condition that if I come up with $1,000 cash by this time, you sell it to me. I don't know if there's sales tax on it, but the." Then you'll give it back to me. Now, where does Reb Chaim get in the Mashkin Lektachayv? One of the places is from here. Shemitah is not Mishamit a Chayv. Why not? It's not a Chayv Shesh by Mashkin. Why not? It's still a Chayv. So Reb Chaim's side is in the Mashkin Lektachayv. Now, there are another four major nafkaminas in this discussion, in the understanding of a mashkin, probably more, but there are four that come really from basic Gemara.
The proof from Shmita is only with the Yesh Omrim, not with the
Well, the Machlais, the first sheet of Yesh Omrim, is the amount of the loan that's above the value in a mashkin, but as long as it's equal, then it would be good. The Gemara says in Kiddushin and Avches Amid Beis, HaMikadish B'mashkin Da'acherim is Mekudeshes. Mashkin Da'acherim means this. It means I'm a Kaddish woman. Now, if I give my own Mashkin, as I say, look, I owe you a ring and I'll give you a Mashkin. So the Gemara talks about Mashkin, Malvenka, Mashkin, whatever the sugi is, nothing to get to us. But I'm a Kaddish but Mashkin Da'acherim. That means I lend someone money and he gives me a Mashkin. And I'm a Kaddish and Isha with Mashkin Da'acherim, with this Mashkin. Now, obviously, when I give the woman the mashkin, I can only give what I own. So I own, let's say the mashkin is a diamond necklace. I own the diamond necklace with strings attached. That if the person gives me cash, I have to give it back. So I go over to a woman. I say, I'm a kariyat mekudeshesli with this mashkin, which I can only give what I have. What I have is this mashkin as a collateral, which either you'll end up keeping the diamond necklace or you'll get cash for it. One or the other, it has value. So mekadish b'mashkin da'acherim is mekudeshes. And the Gemara says the following words: Ukinder Rav Yitzchak, Damer Rav Yitzchak, Bal Chayv Kaina Mashkin. Rav Yitzchak said Bal Chayv Kaina Mashkin, which sounds like Rav Chaim's words: Bal Chayv Kaina Mashkin. Shenemar Ulecha Tiyat Tzedaka. Now listen to where the Rabbi Yitzchak learns it from. This is a Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak is a Tana. He's saying the following. The Torah says, if you lend someone money and you take as a mashkin bedding, you take the person's mattress, the person's pillow as a mashkin. So the pasuk says the right thing to do is every night go back to the person and tell him you could use it, and take it back the next morning. To me, it's almost not worth having such a mashkin, right? You have a mashkin every night. You give it back to the person. It's like free storage, you know. Three stories. I'll give a sukkah as a mashkin. I'll say, just sukkahs, give it back to me, and the rest of the year, hold on to it. Well, that's the point. See, what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, who has the ownership of the mashkin? It says, ulecha tiyeh tzedakah. Tzedakah means, I'm giving him tzedakah. Something that's mine, I'm giving him. So the pashup shat in the Gemara is, ulecha tiyeh tzedakah, that you're giving him something of yours, and the person says, Uvei Racheka, and he'll give you a bracha. So Tosfos explains, really, it should be Rivis. He's giving you brachas. You lend him money, he's giving you brachas. So Tosfos says, it's not Rivis, because he paid up the chayv, he gave you the mashkin. Now, you're giving him tzedakah, he gave you a bracha. It's not that he's a loiva, he's a loiva, he paid you up. And now you're going, Obey Rachek, he can give you a bracha. That's how Tosfos explains. It's a kasha Tosfos, it's only Ribbis Devarim, it's only the Rabbanan. But the point is this, what's Negeah to us is if you Mekadosh an Isha with a Mashkin, it's considered to be yours. And when you Mekadosh the Isha, it's Mekudesha. So we have one Nafkamina for Shemitah, one Nafkamina for Kiddushin. So another Nafkamina in Psachim Daflamid Aleph. Gemara there says, if you lend money to a guy and you take his chametz as a mashkin, guess what? You have to pay sach. That chametz is aser, because that becomes shavu shalva pesach. Because in the mashkin lich techayv, that means that the chametz belongs to you.
And vice versa
is good. Oh, so what about vice versa? So that's a taisus. I don't think of sach and taisus talks about taisus hashelei. I think gittin. Tosfos says, what about the reverse? What happens if I borrow money from a guy and I give him my chametz as a mashkin? So Tosfos says, if the din b'chayv kind of mashkin applies to goyim too, then it's l'kula, it's emes. Tosfos says, not mechriya. But he says, if the rules of mashkin apply to goyim also, then the same thing. It's a yitz chametz, he gives it a mashkin, and there's no bayira, there's no bayira, there's no chavisha b'lo pesa.
If he specified the bayris
that he wants, that work. If he says he does a kinyan that works by goyim. If he does a kinyan that works, of course it works.
There's a problem
with
usage rights.
What?
Does he have usage rights in the mashkar? So he has to watch it.
So he has no usage rights.
How can he make Kaddish and Isha?
Because you can make Isha when anything has value. If it has value, even if it has, even if she has no use for it now, as long as it has value, it's good. It's something people would pay for. Let's say you make Kaddish and Isha, I don't know. See, bonds don't work. Ishtaris and Akufay Mamin. But if you cash it with something that. It's only useful on sukkahs. You give her a sukkah. What use does she have to sukkahs? It still has value, so it's good.
Well, I'm just making the point that it belongs to the person, only the condition doesn't pay back the debt. So therefore, there's no real ownership in the mashkin, because all the debt is on account in the event he doesn't give back the loan.
But so Ramesh is saying, you have a mashkin, you only own it if he doesn't give back the debt. Rav Chaim is saying, that's not pshat. Ulecha tiyeh tzedakah teaches us that the lumdis of a mashkin is, here it is, I'm paying up my chayv with a condition. I'm giving it to you. Let's say I sell something. I'm in the oslahad. I sell something. I don't want to sell it. Chalila, I need the money. I sell you something. I say, if I have to get the money in 30 days, sell it back to me, and you agree. So then you have it. You have limited usage of it. You can't resell it. But it belongs to you. The chiddush is ulecha tiyeh tzedakah bal chayv kaina mashkin, or in the mashkin lik techayv. I always tell my class, I tell them in the mashkin lik techayv. That's about all the Yiddish you can hear from me and share all year. If you think about it, in is English too. Duh is English too. Chayv is Hebrew. Licked. We have one Yiddish word. Damashkin. So in the Chayv licked Damashkin, you got one word of Yiddish in, right? In the Chayv licked Damashkin. But anyway, that's the
loss. Who, if it burns or if it gets lost?
Oh, that's the next question. Okay, but so far, this is the rule of in Damashkin licked the Chayv, which in Shmita is simple.
Well, not in Shmita, I mean, it's not the Gavu. I mean, we do Bezin, the Gavu. It's certainly a Mashkin.
Okay, I would think it's something of a chiddush. Once you understand it's kedavra,
easy path to collection.
Easy path to collection wouldn't be enough. It's collected. It really is collected. That's all we're saying. And that's why sif yubayz is a simple sif. We'll get back to the bays in a minute. Yes. So what you have to do is give him back the extra. Presumably, that's the agreement. Have to give back the extra. So you want it to be worth more in case its value goes down. You know, a piece of gold, the value of gold could go down. So you want to be sure. Now,
the bottom line is, if he has the money, he doesn't have to give back the match.
What?
He doesn't have to give back. If he wants to give back, he wants to give back. He wants to pay. He's not mechuyif.
He's mechuyif too.
Not mechuyif. Why?
When we say in the mashiach the chayiv, it's b'tnai. I lend the money. He gives me a bracelet or a necklace. But tonight, and if he comes up with the money by this and this date, I give it back. So it's a Kenyan, but tonight, that's what it is. So we're going to get to the idea of Mashkanta de Surya. There are two types of Mashkin, one in which you could and one which you can't. If it went up in the interval, I'm not sure. I was saying if it goes down, that you could collect the if you lent him $500, he gave a $1,000 bracelet, and it went down to $500, you can still collect $500 from it. But at any rate, so Tosfos in both places, in Pesachim Lamed Aleph, and in all three places, in Kedusha Ches. And in Pesachim Lamed Aleph by Chametz, who also says Kinder Rabbi Yitzchak, Damer Rabbi Yitzchak, and in Hashaleach in Daf Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, and Gittin. So he says, 1 minute. Rabbi Yitzchak is talking by a mashkin Shaloi B'Shas Alvar. By a mashkin, what's a mashkin Shaloi B'Shas Alvar? I lend you money. It's a day you chayv to pay. I come to you. You don't have money, so you give me a mashkin. So Tosfos says, by a mashkin shaloi b'shas halva, it's more mistaver, it's a piroi. It's the day that you have to pay me. It's the time you have to pay me. You can't pay me, so give me this one tonight. So Tosfos says, mashkin b'shas halva minayin. How do you know that the same thing is true if when I lend you money, you give me a mashkin? That's not a piroi. Maybe that's the standard view of a mashkin. So Tosfos answers, the language is hard. He says, since Shalai Bishas Havah, it's a Piroin, so Gam Bishas Havah, Olim Shibudei, that it's also a Piroin. It's Tosfos Lashon, I think in all three places, that we learn from Shalai Bishas Piroin to Bishas Piroin as well. The Baal HaMor says the same thing, in Pesachim Lamed Aleph, and the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban holds, no, this whole shtickle Torah is Shalai Bishas Piroin, and not Bishas Pirai. So we have a bit of a difference in the Paiskim. As you can see here, the Shulchan Aruch is not Mechalik. Shulchan Aruch says, every Mashkin, doesn't say Bishas Pirai, sorry, Bishas Pirai. It says, Hamalva al HaMashkin, even the language Hamalva al HaMashkin sounds like Bishas Alvah. And we pass like Tosfos in the Baal HaMor that Hamalva al HaMashkin is Eina Mishana. That's the thing. The issue comes up as follows. What happens if you give me a mashkin and I'm holding it and an oinus takes place? It gets list of mazuyim come and they steal it, or earthquake swallows it up. Whose responsibility is the shmirah? Am I a bailim? So even on an oinus I would lose money? I'm just a shiner. Maybe a shemisacher. Maybe a shechina. Mustaver. Shemisacher. I have some benefit. Maybe I'm only a shiner.
And he has to pay twice.
So the question is there, when I'm watching the mashkin, If the mashkin is destroyed, does that potter him from paying me? Say, oh, I gave you a mashkin, got destroyed. Okay, I say, no, no, no. You gave me a mashkin, I was in oinus, not my fault. You still owe me the chayv. So the way we're saying, in the mashkin lik the chayv, it sounds like it should be over. Now, those of you who have a Shulchan Aruch, I invite you to take a quick look at Siman Ayin Beis, Shaf Siv Katan Tes. The second page of Siman Ayin Beis is a Shach Tes. Now, this Shach, as somewhere written at Bizman Azeh, will be a separate kuntras. Just for illustration purposes, I'm going to show you what it looks like in the tiny letters of the Shach. If you can see even vaguely, the Shach starts around here. Okay, I'll tell you what the Shach is about. It's about what we're discussing. The Shach goes down, and then on the next page, you got a Shach like this. Not just like this. Like this and like this. Okay, the Shach goes on to the next page. Now this, and this, I'm telling you, it's a week's learning, second Seder. When I look at Chesh Mishra, we came to these Shachs, sometimes we didn't know what to do. You know, every once in a while he has this gigantic arichus, and you don't know what to do. So you always want to look at the Be'er Hetev, get a synopsis. The Be'er Hetev here writes, almost amusing. Hine, Hashach Herich Ma'id Bedinim Elu Lefalpel Besugis Hashas, Hapoiskim. What's the Shach about? I'll tell you what the Shach is about by reading the first two lines. The Shach is about our discussion. The Shach begins. The Shulchan Aruch says that Hamavas Chaver Ala Mashkin is a Shemesh Sachar. So he says, Ozul Letamesh, Kasad Bebes Yosef, the Chala Paiskim Savrim, that his sheet is your shayma sachar. Levad may Rashi shesayv shechayv ba'insim. So for Rashi, what we're saying is that yechayv ba'insim. Aval lefi ani estaiti ikur b'shas k'Rashi. The Shas says the ikur is like Rashi. V'gam das harbe gedayl ma'paiskim ukein. It's not sure he's a das yachid. U'kamaisha avayer. And then he says, "Lefisha Taisus Harbe Gedolim Cholkin Rashi Mukruchani Laharich." He says, "Look, Taisus Echa argues, so I have to prove to you that Rashi is right." And then he has a standard expression: "Av Sheineni Kedai Lahachnis Rashi Bein Ahara Magdolim Mekam Akeim Halay Tayr Mudaf Bekeren Zavis Varayis Berur Resit Noe Dayim Yitzdaku." Says, "I'm not going to argue with them, but my proofs will prove that I'm right anyway." That's what he said. Then he goes to the sukkah. So, Lamaisa the Shach holds, he holds the Rashi Shita, and he holds the Rebbe Shainim, that Oinus as well is a Chiyav Oinsim. In other words, that the Bachayv is Kaida Mashkin Kimashmai, the way that we understand here in Hilchah Shemitah. So, Lamaisa, what?
Up to the value.
Up to the passage, up to the value. And beyond that, I guess he'd be a Shemesach. It makes sense. What?
He's
chayv and oinsim, right. Chayv and oinsim really means that if he's nanas, the person doesn't have to pay. Which is logical. If you give someone a mashkin, and someone has their mashkin, so if you don't pay, he's taif is the mashkin.
According to the sixth case, that you can give that official order, they come to one, yes, I feel that more than mashkin is chayv. So it's a very easy way nowadays to get away with it. Give a pruta for a mashkin, and then...
Yeah, but if it's not nanas, then you have to pay the rest. It's you mean to get away from Shvita being b'shamed?
Yeah.
Oh, it'll be a way to get away. It's the easier way. I mean, Oshay Tashvi Tevi b'shvias. We're going to have the kasha soon. That why don't you just make the time? He needs a prosbul. Okay, but anyway, this is the sugya of mashkin. Like I say, it's a shas sugya, sifu beis. Now let's learn sif beis, and you'll see the difference between sif beis and every other mashkin. It should say more clearly. Is that Sivbeis is talking by a mashkin of karka. I have a field, and I give him my field as a mashkin. Why would I give him my field as a mashkin? There's something that Chazal called mashkanta de sura. Mashkanta sura means this. I borrow $100,000 from someone, and I give him my field as a mashkin. Why am I giving a field as a mashkin? He says, look, until you pay me back, the field makes money every year. Whatever money I profit from the field, I'll deduct from the chayv. So let's say I lent you $100,000. Now, this machlok is how we assess the deduction. Is the deduction the actual profit or the value of a speculator wanting to take the land for its profit? However much it is. Let's say it's $10,000 a year. So I take a mishkanta de surah, and I take it for 10 years, and after 10 years I give it back. Now, the minig, the Gemara says, in some places, it was asra deloy misalkilay. That means, sometimes the deal was, I'm lending you $100,000, I'm taking the field for 10 years, you can't come in the middle of the 10 years and say, here's cash, and I want it back. Asra deloy misalkilay means it's a land where you can't take me off the field. I'm going to hold the mishkata de surah until it's paid. Then there was an asra de misalki. There were places where the deal was, I'll leave profit. As soon as you pay me back, you get it back, and it's done. And in between, there was an asra de misalki, but you need a certain amount of time. In other words, you want it back, it's mistava, right? I'm planting the field. So, an asra misalki, maybe you give me, the deal is that when you want to pay me back, you have to give me 30 days notice. Or you have to let me harvest the crop, or whatever it is. Even for one day, you have to give me one day's notice. So these are three types of mashkin of character, mashkanta de surah, a place to misalki, the loy misalki, and there's something called loy misalki de yoyma. You can't just come and say, here, get off now, you got to give me warning. Now we can learn Sif Beis. Had we started the sugya of mashkin with Sif Beis, instead of Sif Yud Beis first, it would be very confusing. Once we know how regular mashkin works, this is only a question of karka. You know, karka belongs to its owner wherever it is. It can be taken away. So let's see how the Shulchan Aruch deals with it. Shiyas v'shametes es ha-malva, afila malva bishtar, shiyesh be'achrayis. Even a malva bishtar that has achrayis, that means hashibah karkois, achrayis nechassim. V'amashkarta, this means a mashkin of karka. B'makim shidarkon l'salei ha-malva b'choleis she-yavi ma'isav. In a place where the custom is l'salei ha-malva, you can tell the malva, okay, leave the land. B'choleis she-yavi ma'isav, whenever he brings his money. Shvius v'shamtasa. So then, shvius is mishamit, because the chayv is a regular chayv. When I pay you back, it's over. B'makim she'ena yachol l'salkei, a place where you can't remove him. Now the logic is pashut. If you're here for 10 years, so you're the owner of the field, call it the renter of the field for 10 years, and then the chayv is paid up, then vayta in the mashkin lik the chayv, right? Because I'm telling you, let me $100,000, you get my field for 10 years, and I can't break the lease. You're here for 10 years, so basically in the mashkin lik the chayv, you gave me $100,000, I gave you a 10 year field. If I can chase you off any time I want, that means it's my karka all the time. Just you have a lien on it, you have rights on it, even to eat the pears. Yeah. Topically, it sounds the same as prusbul. It's actually different because by a prusbul, the language of prusbul, it's like it's paid, but it's just like it's paid. Here, it's paid. Okay, it's actually paid as opposed to a prusbul where it's sort of imaginary paid. Anyway,
if he doesn't plant the whole 10 years,
it's still right. Yeah, whatever the deal is.
Once he's there 30 days, though, you have to give him some kind of.
Excuse me?
Once he's there 30 days, isn't there presumption you can continue on until you.
And it depends. In Asra de Misalki, it means that as soon as I come up with the money, I get it back. Anytime. There's no 30 day assumption. Vim eina mashkanta ella. If it's not a true mashkin, that means not mishkata de sura, but he designated a field for the halva. Eina mishamit, the shmita is not mishamit. If he gave him the field, I think this means with a kinyan. The yeshaimrim dani mili basudoy misalkilay. In a place where he has a right to the field. Now, v'choshen yisake afila yoyim echad, if he has to give him notice, even one day, mikri asra delay misalkilei, That means that the malva has rights to it, and it's called the asra d'loy misalkilei, and the meila. So basically, any time the malva has true rights to the field, then it's like it's paid. If he doesn't have true rights to the field, if he has limited rights, if he has limited rights to the field itself, then he has a right, he needs 30 days. No, even one day notice is different. And otherwise, it's still called the field of the loiva. This is the rule of Mashkanta da'ara, Mashkanta of Karka. And as the Sma explains, Karka is different wherever it is. It's in the still belongs to the loiva, unless the malva has rights that don't allow the loiva to come back. And these are the rules of Mashkanta as they apply to Shemitah. Now let's move on to Siv Gimel. Siv Gimel again touches on a major Shas Sugya outside of Shemitah. Siv Gimel, one line. Mishi Yesh Lei Iska B'Shal Chaveira. What is Iska? Literally, Iska means investment. If you have an investment with your friend, Shvius Mishametis Palga, Shuhu Malva. Shemitah is Mishamet half of it. You gave him $100,000 as an investment. Shemitah is $50,000. Why $50,000? You have to understand. I want to explain to you how Iska worked in the time of Chazal. Not necessarily it works that way today. And from that, people have an understanding of how a heter Iska works. Okay, Iska is an investment. What's a typical investment? You come up with this great idea. You tell you, I have this great idea in Flatbush. I'm going to open a cafe. Not enough cafes in Flatbush. I'm going to open another cafe. And I have the storefront, I have the game plan, I have the cook, everything's all planned out. I'm just missing money. You'll be the investor, and I'll run the place. That's an iska. So say, how much do you need? You need $100,000. So let's, for simplicity's sake, say the investor's putting up all the money. Of course, it works even if it's not all the money, but just keep it simple. Let's say he needs $200,000 to open the store. So I say, okay, I give you the $200,000. And we're 50-50 partners. I'm the investing partner. You're the active partner. I'm the silent partner. And we run the business. Every dollar that comes in, 50 cents is yours and 50 cents is mine. If we ever sell the business, half is yours and half is mine. In other words, I'm putting up the money and you are running the business. That's the way it works, right? The $200,000 goes into the bank. Today, most investments are structured that the person gets his principal back and remains a 50% profit. Chazal never dreamt such a level of profit. They assumed if you put in $200,000 in the business, you become a shutter forever. The $200,000 is in the business. Eventually, the business is worth millions of dollars, and you sell it and you split the difference. The way Chazal looked at this transaction, it's called Chatzi Milva Chatzi Pekadon. Chazal looked at it this way. I'm putting $200,000 into the business. We open a bank account, you put in $200,000. As of this moment, every dollar of the business is half yours and half mine. So that $200,000 is there, it'll end up being millions of dollars. That $200,000 immediately is still half mine and it's half yours. Now, you can't just take it because that's the understanding of the deal is that you're opening a store. I'm not just giving you a gift. But technically, the minute you put it in the bank, it's half mine and half yours. It's an asset of the business. Now, the half that's mine, I'm not lending to you. That's called pikadon. Pikadon means it remains mine. You might have control of it. You have a right to spend it, to invest, to buy furniture for the store, whatever you have to buy. But it's my money. That's chatzi pekat. Chatzi milva means the other half is yours. Why is it yours? I'm really lending it to you. I'm lending you half of the money. And that half of the money now becomes yours to invest. In other words, you're getting half the money to invest. And that's the iska. That's how an iska works. Every investment of this structure is chatzi milva. Now, if I make up, I get two-thirds of the profits, you get one-third. So the Gemara calls that, that's fine. That's as long as we split losses and profits the same way. As we have to split profits 50-50, their losses 50-50. If profits are two-thirds, one-third, their losses are two-thirds, one-third. That's the way an iska works. The Gemara says, if I make up, I get two-thirds of the profit, but if it's loss, I only get one-third of the loss. So the Gemara calls that karav l'schav arachim l'hav sin. That's a rivus issue. Because, in effect, I made up, I get two-thirds of the profit, so two-thirds two-thirds you have to pay me back, and one-third stays in the business. So two-thirds, you have to take the loss. So that means that two-thirds you have to pay me back. You're like a borrower on the two-thirds. So why am I getting the profit? If you're the borrower, you have to get the profit. So it has to be even. It has to be half Pekad and half Milva. And that's the way the business works.
Is this a
Memela, no, this was a business structure. It's not heteriska. You know, I remember when I learned Hilchus Ribbis many years ago in Yeshiva. The Yeshiva was learning about Metziah. I was in Kail. We made up. We learned, they said Neshech in the morning and Shulchan Aruch in the afternoon. I couldn't wait to get to the Sugya of heteriska. There's no Sugya of heteriska in the Gemara. There's no Sugya of heteriska in Shulchan Aruch. The Sugya of iska. It's not talking you make a heteriska. It's a real iska. You invest with somebody, and it talks about what an iska is. That's an iska. Now, later, Chazal came along and structured a heteriska. They structured that when I lend you money, we're going to turn it into a heteriska. I really don't want to lose money. The rule in Ribbis, the basic rule, is any time you're liable for the money, it's a loan. Anytime I take the loss, it's a pekad. My money sitting in the business. If it gets lost, it gets lost. Anytime if it gets lost, I get paid back. That's a loan. So Chazal structured it, the heta iska, that it's not likely I'll lose. If there's a loss, you have to swear, you have to bring witnesses. However, a heta iska works. But that's called chatzi milva, chatzi pekadin, and that's the way an iska works. Now, Shulchan Aruch is simple. If you give somebody money as an iska and Shemitah passes, the Chatzi Milva is it's Mishamit, and the Chatzi Pekadin is not Mishamit. Of course, we're going to learn later that it's only if he Gia Shaspirai. We're going to learn later, the Gemara says in Makkos Gimel Amud Beis, really Amud Aleph Talmud Beis, if I lend you money for 10 years, and you don't have to pay me in 10 years. Right, the Mishnah says, Edom come and they say that he lent the money mekambat eser shana, and real is mekambat shloishin yaim. Or the reverse, kashas eser shana. So you have to pay the difference in that. So Gemara yes, kasha mekambat eser shana, shmita is meshamet. And it says no, like karin the two lashanis in the Gemara is the nika diami, but the lashan that we paskin, Gemara says like karin be loyigais. It means this. Let's say somebody wants to borrow money, and I want to have a shmita problem. I tell them, today is Vav Tishrei, right? Today's Vav Tishrei, I'm lending you money, you pay me back next Vav Tishrei. Shemitah's not Meshamet. You put out of prison. Because when it comes the last day of Shemitah, I can't collect anyway. The Chayv is not due, I can't collect anyway. If you can't collect anyway, Shemitah's not Meshamet. Like Karinim Bei Laigais, the Torah says don't collect, I can't collect anyway. You follow? Shemitah is only Mishamet Achayv whose due date has come. Same thing with Aniska. If there's not time to get paid, Shemitah not Mishamet at all. Here it means where you would expect to be getting paid, whatever your arrangement is. So Shemitah is Mishamet half and not the other half. Now this is the basic halacha here. I do want to explain something. When you do a Heta Iska, really, you're supposed to understand what you're doing. You have different levels of urgency to people understanding a heta iska. Ramesha writes that they absolutely must understand what they're doing. He doesn't say straight out that otherwise it's no good, but he said you can't do a heta iska with someone who thinks it's like a kameya. You wave it at the loan and it becomes mutter. You know, he says, you can't do that. They have to understand the structure of what you're doing. You have to understand with all the shas and tas, but you have to understand the basic words of an iska arrangement. The chatzi milva, chatzi pekadin makes it very complicated to a lot of people. It makes it very, very complicated. When we did, for example, a heta iska with Quicken Loans, we just did a kulei pekadin heta iska. there's, for whatever reason, Chazal created the typical shtar hete iska, chatzi mil v'chatzi pekadin. Because that's the way people invest. There's something called the kulei pekadin hete iska, which means I'm lending you $100,000, and I own the whole $100,000 worth of your business. Now, obviously, if the whole business is $100,000, what fool are you? I'm going to give $100,000 and you can give me the whole business? This happens when you have a person, he's got to open a business, he's got enough money almost to run the business, he just needs a little more. He has an investment opportunity, he's got, it's a $2 million investment opportunity, $1.5 million he has, he needs another $500,000. So he's willing to let someone give the other $500,000 and get the entire percentage of that $500,000, even though it's his idea, he's running the business, because it makes it happen. That's called kulei pekadin. There's no loan at all. It's totally a pekadin investment. In other words, there's I'm giving you $100,000, I get $100,000 worth of the business. If chatzi mil v'chatzi pekadin, I get $50,000 worth of the business, and the other $50,000 is a loan to you that's meshubit to me. So there's something called a kulei pekadin form. There's a chatzi pekadin. The kulei pekadin form is just simpler. It's easier. It's easier to use. In the particular case of Quicken, they took it very seriously. They had lawyers go over it, and there were negotiations, and it broke down Sukkot time that year, and it was revived by around Pesach time that year. They came back and they took it very, you know, very famously. The Cavaliers, which is owned by the same person that owns Quicken, got into the playoffs, and they're down 3-1. And he sent an urgent message to get this het iska done quickly. And then they won the next two games. It was 3-3. He also sent an online donation he lives in Detroit, the Yeshivas Bnei Yehuda in Detroit. Erev, the next game, he sent them $50,000. And then they won the next game, and the next game. And it went to a seventh game. Unfortunately, he didn't pay up enough. But I'm just kidding. But But they took it seriously and were very comfortable with it for various reasons. Now, you know, we're busy with other places that they say, you know, do the Quicken loan arrangement with us, but when you see they're not taking it seriously, it's very, very hard to deal with them. When you do a loan with Quicken, they don't own you. They don't own you. They have a pekadin. Okay. The way... it could be your house. It could be they're investing in your house. Now, first of all, they don't give you the whole money. They may give you 80%. So they own 80%. They own 80% of your house. It's actually drawn up, which may be true. You can call it that. See, the milo with Quicken's het iska that makes it better than any het iska in the world is that Quicken only holds the iska for 3 to 4 days. Quicken, incredible. They're shooting for $100 billion in loans per year. That's their goal. They were at 80 or 85 before the pandemic. The pandemic year was a bad year. And this year, I don't know what they did. Like, they're shooting $100 billion means $2 billion a year. That's money. You know, now the government spends trillions, and we think billions is nothing. It's a nice amount of money. Now, what they do is they turn it over. They don't have $100 billion. So they turn it over very quickly. They sell it very quickly. What that means... there are two big milas in the het iska of Quicken. Number one, there's almost no risk. What does the het iska say? If we can bring two witnesses or a shvua that the profit, that the investment went bad, you lose. What are the odds, after all the checking they do to issue a mortgage, what are the odds that in 3 or 4 days the property values are going to plummet more than 20%, they won't have their equity in the house. It's really low risk. It's no risk. There's really no reason that they wouldn't take it seriously. It's one thing. And the second thing... The Quicken het iska has two parts. The second part makes them a shliach. They didn't like the lashon shliach because they didn't want whatever liability. So it says that they are going to procure a loan from a non-Jewish source on our behalf, on the lender's behalf, and use the proceeds of that loan to pay off the iska. And from then on, it will be a loan. So So that's basically what happens. When they sell it, they're obligated to sell it to a non-Jewish source. Well, a lot of it is done to the government.
It's
to the
it should be, it could also be in,
yeah, but there, we don't want the iska to continue. We like this iska is a very true iska because there's no reason that, there's no risk. They're going to turn around and make a loan to Fannie Mae. You know, they're not going to. Fannie Mae doesn't do iskas; they only do loans. So this is the way it's arranged. There's actually a second mila. Anybody that took a mortgage knows the first month's interest comes off the principal, was paid up ahead of time. Now, what the het iska does is actually, if, let's say you're borrowing for your house $1 million, and the first loan payment is, what would it be, $1 million, $8,000, let's say $6,000, whatever. So really, what it says is that the loan is for $993,000, and then it makes all the payments, the payment conditions. There is no actual payment ever made to Quicken, because since the first month's interest comes off the top, and the ISK is drawn to deduct that from the principal of the ISKA, and since they always sell it within 30 days, they sell it very quickly. When we started dealing with them, they sold it within a week. When we finished, they sold it within 3 to 4 days, always. And I don't know what they're doing today.
But they
sold it for $1 million. It says that they can get a loan, and whatever they get the loan that's above the amount, that's the schar tircha. That's the, they're bothering to go and get the loan. So that's the arrangement. It's like particularly the Quicken loan arrangement has my list that others don't. Now there are some who say we never want to use a het iska. Since Sfaradim have a Kabbalah not to use a het iska, Rabbi Aaron told us, tell me, don't get involved in het iskas. People ask me, is a het iska l'chad chila? I tell him, look, the Chachmas Sadam, there's a simin, he calls it a klal, on Dinei Heteiska. It doesn't say a word that it's not lechatchila. Ramesha wrote a Heteiska, the Sma wrote a Heteiska. They don't write it's not lechatchila. When you're dealing with firm people that mean it seriously, it's for sure lechatchila. Even if they don't fully understand it, what do we do by Ksuba? We tell the Chosn, whatever's in this shtar, you're mechayiv yourself. The Chosn know all Dinei Ksuba. And tonight, Ksuba, and there's the no, he doesn't know. He's a Frumian. He wants to get married, Kadim. Mechayiv himself, whatever it says. So therefore, the het iska is a chatchila. To do it with fraya people who don't mean it seriously is highly questionable. The chiddush was that Reb Shlomo Miller, who had told me that, look, he's a Talmid Rav Aaron, and he really hard for him to sign off on a het iska. But he signed off on the Quicken document. He had the lashon that he insisted was the objections that existed to using Quicken no longer exist. In other words, you don't want to write a hetiska lechatchila, but he said there are no objections to using it. That was the language, which is all in the lumdis of the fine print.
For American student loans, they have debt counseling. So for Heteriska,
you could have that disk counseling. The problem is people call me from the closing and they say, we're closing in a few minutes, we need a het iska. I'll tell them, do me a favor, call up Lee, he'll give you so it's unfair. Sometimes I'm going to shear and they call me down to the phone in the yeshiva and they say, we have to close in an hour. I say, I'm going to shear. I said, yeah, but we need it now. It's not my fault. Imagine you call a lawyer an hour before closing, you know. So look, at the rate I get paid, I can push them off for an hour, you know. They're not going to have a competition. But anyway, my point today is just this. To explain to you the Chatzi Mil v'Chatzi Pekadin arrangement. There are times you need a Kulei Pekadin arrangement for various reasons, which I'm not going to go into now. So you really have to do a head disk with someone who knows what he's talking about. But when it's done between firm people, it's not that complicated. So if the borrower, yes, Ramesh's Shita is that any time the borrower is a corporation, there's no Isseribis. Because that's also an Iska. I'm lending you money, and even let's say you give me a mashkin your property, but you're not liable. So it's also a type of iska. I'm betting that your property don't have value. Ramesh Shita is that if the lender is a corporation, not the borrower. But if, I'm sorry, if the borrower is a corporation, not the lender. In other words, there's no personal liability. If there's no personal liability, then there's no, you're allowed to do it l'chatchila. That's Ramesh Shita. And Kedarka Shoramesh is very mistaver. There's no.
In
the cafe situation, the borrower is the silent investor. Is the active investor, right? The what do you call it? The
operator.
What?
Running the account
is
now in the account
It's owned by a corporation, and the active partner is not guaranteeing anything. I mean, he's guaranteeing fraud. Fraud is gedeva that he also has to pay, but he's not guaranteeing anything in the business. Anything. If he's not guaranteeing anything, Ramosha holds there's no iserivis. You don't need a head to iska. The Agadah Elim in Eretz Yisrael that disagree with this heter, and there's a tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak, our Ramosha's heter. The Minchas Yitzchak says that he agrees Ramosha's cheshmin would turn it into ribis derabanan, but he thinks it's still, he holds it's still awesome in derabanan. Rapam, after he saw the tshuva, he said, "Kedayu Ramosha lismach alav v'dayraisa kol shkei midrabanan." That was his lashon, and you know, he told me that I can go with Ramosha, although if I'm dealing with people, I tell them up front that the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael don't necessarily agree. I don't want to do something, and then I'll go to somebody and say, "Oh, that's Ramosha. It's not, you know, it's." Later we found a tshuva Rivash that seems to say exactly like Ramosha, which in the Ribbis book I tech and Suda Maramakim. It's strange. The Beis Yosef quotes half the tshuva. The other part, and it doesn't quote this part. So those who argue that Beis Yosef maybe left it out of Kavana. But that's a separate discussion. But if it's a corporation, then there's always... But again, the borrower, when you go to Quicken, you're the borrower, that's not a heter. But when you're investing in a company and there's no personal liability, then it works. Recently, we had a major nursing home loan was going on with a certain bank. At the last minute, I was in Israel, and there were rumors that they're Jews, and they looked online to see who owns it, and there was a panic that they are Jews, and they had to go to closing. So they set up three rabbanim to make a decision. We told them they should do no personal guarantee. So this bank was very upset, but they said, "We take collateral." I said, "You take as much collateral as you want." So they took major collateral, which was good enough, but not. But there was no personal liability on anybody's part, and then they went ahead with it.
So some people registered their property as an LLC. If they have an address, LLC, so that's good enough.
Even without it, if you lend me money and I say I'm not liable, you're lending me money because whatever I want to buy a house in Eretz Yisrael. So you're lending me money, a real loan. I tell you, I'm not taking any personal liability. Like I plan to buy a house with it. That house is mishubit to you. I have no personal shibud. Even without an LLC, that's good enough according to Ramesh. That you could do. Not only that, I can do that house and my Brooklyn house. I'm mishubit to you. So you're well protected with Derech HaTeva. As long as there's no personal liability, it works. Okay, let's.
When you buy a property, they say, "Hey, since the Rabbanim pay is subject to that, you have a problem because you have to buy the minimum of property."
Okay, I don't think 100% the Rabbanim object there, but there are those who object. And, you know, the Israeli government has a het disk of Israeli bonds. The Israeli government, you know, they're firm when it comes to making money. You know, they have an het disk of Israeli bonds. When you lend money to the State of Israel, there's no personal liability. There's no issue. Well, you're lending money to them. So they're the borrowers. No personal liability. It's the government that's borrowing. So, Kranj Ramesh, you don't even need a head to ask. Let's learn Sivdali, just to Misha Haya Shutifim Chaveirai. Somebody who's a partner, a real partner. Vayimisaskim Bishchairais Ubishtarais. And they're doing business together. Vinisha Biyad Echad Meyashutfim. So what happens when shutfim do business? So somebody takes the money home at the end of the day, don't leave it in the store. So usually that's the way shutfim work. One shutif takes the money home and they trust each other. Ein shvius misham tasei, shein shvius mishametes ela milva. This is the big rule that shmita is only mishamet alone. It's not alone. Alone means you have my money and you're allowed to spend it as you see fit. That's what alone is. If you're holding my money because we should them, and you're the one who takes the money home, and you're the one who runs the business, that's not a malva. That's a shaymer. It's a shutif who's sort of a shaymer for the two of them, and that's the rule. Shmita is not mishamet. We're going to learn even more. If you have in the grocer, if you buy groceries, and you know they have a book. In the olden days, they used to write it with a pen in a little book. Today, everything's computerized. Right? Remember, they used to take out the book, and they wrote it down, and made you sign some. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. So it's not mishamet. There's no. That's not called a loan. That's called you owe money for a purchase. Shmita is not mishamet on a purchase. If you're a dentist and you do dentist work for someone, and then Shmita passes, he starts to pay you. You never lent him money. It's payment for services. Now we're going to learn Zakfun Olav Imilva. If you total it up and bill him, that turns into a loan. But as long as it's just billing for before you formally bill for services or for goods, that's the Shmita is only mishamet a halva. If it's not a halva, the guidelines of halva we still have to learn, but at least we see it here by shutzus.
What happened to the head?
Okay.
The
what? Every what? If he's allowed to spend it, it's a halva. If not, it's not. He's not, the shutzus can spend it. Just a gemach simetayvit to everybody. A good yar. We'll see you in Tzachem. Bein osar l'sukkos.